Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, sir, that time of the morning where we join our very own Ahmed Parak on his segment, Straight Talk. Counselor Ahmed Parak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you going to find a beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alana salam to all our radio listeners. Shafat, alhamdulillah. Let's bless us with another fine, beautiful Sunday morning. The best weather you can get in the country in KZN. Durban, Shafat.
No, absolutely. We had Adam Kamda talking to us direct from the Indian Ocean, really, giving us superlatives that he ran out of superlatives when he described Durban to the whole world. And Alhamdulillah, Counselor Ahmed Parak also reiterating the fact, hey, you can't beat it. Durban is a place to be. Adam, before we get into our straight talk proper, what about Kafan Dafan? What's the latest on that front?
Shafat, yeah. Shabbat, yes, we have a little bit of challenge. In fact, yesterday there was a person shot in Lotus Park on Friday evening, and the whole of yesterday I've been trying to get the park trainee manager. We phoned the head of forensic KZN without any joy. That body is still there in park trainee mortuary. We're taking this matter very, very seriously because in terms of the legislation, the standing orders we have got, if there's a Muslim body in any one of the mortuary in KZN or in the country, priority must be given for that post-mortem to be done. And in this case, it has not been done. And Salim Qazi actually is fuming at the moment. He says, you know what, we have to take this matter up. We had a meeting a couple of years ago regarding this issue about when we cannot get hold of it. The manager or the head of that department to make sure that we get our post-mortem done. Apparently, the latest, I have received some news last night through my other contacts. They say there is no doctor there. That's why the manager is actually avoiding my calls and Salim's calls so that the post-mortem still hasn't been done. But Monday, inshallah, we are going to take this thing very, very seriously, make an appointment and go meet with the head of pathology and put it in writing, or else now we need to do is the next step is going to be, if you want to have this issue all the time, then we'll have to go to court and bring a court order to say whenever there's a Muslim body in the government mortuaries, they have to do the post-mortem quick as possible in terms of the legislation that is what we have. So that is an avenue that maybe we'll have to explore. But first, my take is always to talk to them, see what best we can negotiate. Because once you go the court route, and they also become stubborn, you see. So you know, we have to negotiate. I think the best solution for us to negotiate with them and find out where the problem is, maybe. And we have, as you know, we are still in the process waiting for the Department of Health to give us the go-ahead to bring the machine from overseas so that we'll be able to do this post-mortem. This is the very reason why we want that machine, so we do not have a problem like this occurring on a monthly basis, weekly basis, and there is no doctors or anything like that. Because this will expedite getting post-mortem. We'll have a team. We'll have put something in place. This is the whole idea behind this. And in fact, we are waiting for the Justice Department, Department of Health, to give us some information what they think about our proposal, and from there we have to take it, Shafat.
You know, I have to give you full marks here, Ahmed, because, you know, as you said, negotiations, and if we take them to court, they'll get more stubborn. And, you know the psychology of people, and, you know, Allah bless you for that. And this is all coming through. It came through because of your hikmah, your wisdom. I mean, you learn this in, like, through life skills. I mean, you can write your own book there. And, you know, perhaps motivating others, because we generally, you say, you know who you're talking to, you know who I am. And then you cause it for the rest of the people, Ahmed, you know, motivate people to think like you.
Yes, Shafat. You know, I always believe in one thing: talk to the person three times, and the fourth time there is no more talking, and then only you know after you have explored all the avenues, then only you have to do what you have to do. But you know, 9 out of 10, when you talk to them, even take it to a high level, they're very, very, very good to us, especially when it comes to religion, culture, they you know, and especially we Muslim in this country have, you know, we have, you know, there have been, they, we have got things that most countries in the world don't have. You know, like Thursday is going to be Eid, Shafat, no, and the heart of Musgrave, they give us double parking, and, you know, they give that Grey Street, which is a, you know, it's one of the busiest streets, Yusuf Dadu, Queen Street, but you get the full center lane, two lanes, they're giving it for from the apartheid days right up to today, we still have that facility, and nowhere in the country have got what we get in KZN. So therefore, I say, you know what, everything, negotiate and talk, and then use all your avenues first before you go and just, you know, people say, no, you go to court, you know what, then you're making more problems than, you know, you can solve that problem for one day, but the people behind the wheels, they will always remember, these guys took us to court, now we'll show them. And they for them to delay something and do something and say that doctor is not around, yet he's around, he you know, they will just phone him and tell him, do me a favor, don't come. And you know, the doctors, they're not scared today. They just don't want to come out because their lives are at stake. So therefore, I think it is better, as you said, Shafa, talk and bring our youth to think how we mustn't fight. First, talk about things and get things done that way, Shafa.
No, and especially as a Muslim, we should be showing that compassion, that empathy, and the mannerism of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, he never blew his top, nothing. And it seems like, you know, there's a lot of aggression in us. What is that reason for that aggression coming into people, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, when you got money, then that arrogance coming to you as well. So people, you know, today people don't realize. I have buried in my time in the last 30 years or so, I've buried millionaires, billionaires and all that. But Shafat, you know, we didn't open two graves. We only opened one grave. We didn't open one grave for his money and one grave for him. So he took absolutely nothing. And I've seen in my lifetime that millionaires who had a roaring business, and today they became paupers because the children blew everything up. They didn't know. When the father was alive, things was rosy. He had them under control and he used to do things. And you know who benefited also? Our religious organization benefited from when the father was alive. Today, there is no more business left, Shafat. This is the problem. So arrogance, when you have money, you mustn't have arrogance in you. You know, you must say, you know, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you with money. Allah must give them more because these are the people that look after our religious organization. I make my dua, Shafat, anybody, any small business too, I make, you know, make dua, Allah give him lots of barakah in this rosy, because end of the day, we go to him, he won't be able to give us 2,000 rand, but he'll give us 200 rand. He will never send you away empty-handed. Even if he'll give you 50 rand, he knows things are bad, but because it's a religious organization, he'll tell you, you know what, take 50 rand and go. You know, that is it. That's why my dua is always Allah give them barakat, Allah make it easy for them. So more business they get, our religious organization benefits from their shafaat.
You know, you make a lot of sense there. And, you know, over the years, definitely our astute businessmen have carried many dawah organizations. And as the point you made, the arrogance thing comes from, like, you know, how Pharaoh was very arrogant when Musa alayhi salam went to him and warned him about, you know, his opulence and not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so forth. Because everything is a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we have been given is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm glad that you brought up that point. Ahmad, as I see a message here for you. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. Great chat indeed, as usual, with the Blue Chef. Keep it up. I want to know from Ahmad Parak, why is it that so many people are so desensitized to mouth? Is it because they're seeing too much of death on screens? And what is Ahmad's take on that submarine that went to see the Titanic and its name was Titan? Ahmad, how you respond to that?
It's a good question. One, I always, in my fight with the Ulama Council, is one fight I've always had. In fact, our Mufti here, in a way, I say, I brought it to his attention. In Ramadan, I said, Mufti Sahab, do me one big favor. I want you to talk about pre-marriage counseling and after marriage counseling. Shabbat, the older people, to the, you know, older people, when they lost a beloved one and all that, after 3 days they make dua, they carry on with the tilawat, they make dua for the marhum and everything. Today the youngsters, they lose their father, mother, and all. They go with Shafat, they go with cuckoos in layman's language. They go with cuckoos. They can't take it anymore that they have lost somebody. The reason is not because they haven't got iman. They have got iman. He's a Muslim, born Muslim, everything. He reads namaz and everything. But the thing is, there's so much of social media nonsense at the moment, and they're seeing all movies and everything, what is happening and all that around them. That is the problem today. This is it. So my take is, I've always said that, you know what, the alims need to educate people. Today youngsters are not like how we were brought up and all, Shafat. You know, and today they need education. You know, I was reading this morning's paper. At the age from 10 to 17, 26,550 pregnancy in KZN schools, Shafat, can you believe that? KZN schools, 26,500 females at the age of 10 to 14, 17 years are pregnant. So, you know, that alone talks it for itself, because there's no education there. You know, with this new education in schools and all, our parents used to tell us what they call, the mother used to tell the daughter what she has to do when she goes school, what you have to do, what you don't have to do in terms of a female. A male, the Pakistani, the father will tell you when you come Bali that you know what you have to do and all. Today, which parent is talking to his son or his mother is talking to his daughter about this thing? This is the problem, Shafat. This is an issue that we have to bring up with the ulama. They are the guys, they are the front runners in everything for us, to guide us. As far as the Titanic is concerned, Shafat, you know when they want to explore all these things and they think they're superstars, superpowers and all that, Allah always show them something that, you know what, you can do all the planning, but I'm the best planner, Shafat. Shafat, you know, this Titanic issue, 400 meters below, to go and look for the debris and all that, what happened many, many years ago. So you know what the old people say, don't play with fire and don't play with water. When you go and do these two things, what they say, astai panika or akka, astai neka neka. So this is when you go and do things like that, this is what you the payback you get. And then, you know, this United States, they want to be superpower. They want to do everything. But because of the India is coming up, Russia is coming up, China is coming up. So United States have to go and do something extraordinary to say that we are still in the game here. So this is when you go and play these type of games, then, you know, end of the day, the repercussion is heavily, you pay the heavy price. Then the West Bank shooting again, you know, Shafat, you know, every single day you find something and something is happening in Palestine. So, you know, that side of it, you know, if we all get together, unite ourselves and take the West on, they won't survive, Shafat, because the only thing, because of our disunity, that's why we're suffering today in these war zone, war places and everything. And you'll see, the things are starting to change slowly and slowly. Things are starting to change. And, you know, Allah make it easy for those brothers and sisters who are losing their lives for what is theirs. That is the problem.
Yeah, well said there, Ahmad. And alhamdulillah, I agree with you with whatever you have said there. And when we look at the Itikwe, any news? So what's latest from your desk?
Shafat, you know, if at the moment we got in our city, we had the AIDS conference this week. So that, you know, the ICC is chock-a-block at the moment. This coming week and from last week, you won't get one accommodation in the whole of Durban, Shafat, because of this winter holidays. One, two, then you got the July races, July handicap, which they call it, Greyville this week. Also, you know, the city is buzzing at the moment. They will create in the region of about plus minus 3,000 jobs in a period like this year, just additional jobs they will create. And the city should get in like about 200-300 million coming into the city. And, you know, we are fortunate in the city. People come here because of our weather, because of the events that is taking place here in South Africa and in especially our KZN. So we are fortunate in that sense that we're still getting some revenue compared to the other cities in the country. But the long and the short is, Shafat, yes, Itigwini Municipality, 1st of July next week, we'll be kicking in with our budget of from 55 billion to 65 billion will be kicking. And I only hope that money don't start getting legs and hands, that our ruling parties put their hands on it, and what is due for infrastructure and housing and everything, they spend it in the right way, which we're going to be seeing to very, very closely that money is spent in the right areas which is needed. And we think, you know, their policy is that we, this area, our cities and all are like developed. Why we don't spend the money in the rural area? But they're not realizing the people from the rural area came into the city. That's where our infrastructure is now broken up completely, because you got more people. Our infrastructure is like taking a vehicle is 1 ton, but you want to put 2 tons load in it, and you say you move, you're taking from Durban to Peter Maritzburg. What will happen to that vehicle? It can't take the load anymore. It's the same thing happened. All the people from rural area have come away into the city, and that's where the problem is. Instead of the government fixing up from the time they have taken in 1994, fixing up the areas in the rural, giving them factories, giving them proper infrastructure and everything. So people should be more than happy to stay where they are, because nothing is happening in the rural area. They all came away to the city. Now, what is happening in the rural area? Schools. There's over 1,000 schools we'll have to close in the next 5 to 6 months, because the schools were supposed to be for 500 students. We don't even have 100 students there. So it's costing to maintain that school, as well as for 100 students, is not feasible. So these are the problems that we have faced in government. Now, they need a think tank to put things right for them. And we're telling them what to do. And, you know, they you know, as you said earlier on, you get stubborn. And these are extra stubborn people we have got in government there in Tigwini that do not want to listen. We are telling them, fix it up. This is the way to fix up. Let's put our heads together. Let's put our minds together. Let's instead of having a proper mashura, find a way. You know, forget all the parties. Let's come to the table to do something for the community, where the community is suffering, and you will find 600 informal settlements with over 30,000 to 50,000 people living in rural in informal settlements. And now you've got bluffing the people. Swingo Beach, we took out 350 informal settlement people, and we put them in low-cost housing near on the south coast. But you're bluffing the people. Don't bluff the people. Do the right thing. When they had money for the informal settlement, 122 million, we had almost 330-something thousand from social development for informal settlement to put up housing. They couldn't use it. They did nothing about it. Shafat, that money is gone back to national. To get it back, now in the new financial year, after the 1st July, we have to make application, do motivation to bring that money. And if they don't give us the money, we lost half a million, 500 million is gone down the drain. This is what happens in government, Shafat.
Beautiful indeed, Ahmed. Looking at the message on the screen, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Blue Chef and Councillor Ahmed Parak. What a great team. I really enjoy his input. Ahmed Parak sounds like a very pious man, and also someone that I look up to. I have a lot of respect for this man. May I tell you, Brother Ahmed Parak, you talk about arrogant people. Yes, we have a lot of them in our community, and some of them have so many flats that they're allowing all these people from Nigeria, Malawi, and Mozambique, most of them criminals are living in there. Please, brother, I feel like reporting them to you. Can you make a plan? I don't know. I don't like this because we as Muslims are harboring criminals. How do you respond to that, Ahmad?
Javad, there's a new legislation that is underway, and what we are doing in council, in fact, Hussein, is from the ITRUM. You know, he goes with a full team of Home Affairs, Department of Labor, Metro Police, SAPS. They go out in the evening and they're cleaning up, you know, all old buildings that are redundant, and they're harboring criminals there. We're cleaning up from one way they are cleaning. And some of the areas have been already cleaned up, and they put, you know, they've got a special task team at Itigwini now that is, you know, Hussein is part of that the ITRUMP, which we call, and it's happening at the moment. So it is cleaning up, and with the new legislation with Home Affairs coming in, there won't be any more room for illegal immigrants in this country, because the system is going to be changed. It's going to be an international system. You know, like how you go to Dubai or any other countries in the world, they have got track record of you. All that once that was given asylum, given work permit, that got South African resident, all will be new due diligence is going to cost us the Home Office money, but they're going to do a complete new due diligence, because when we say we got 55 million to 60 million South Africans in the country, but you're not taking into account you got another 20 million odd million that foreigners are in the country. So we here for about 80 million people, and our infrastructure cannot take for 80 million people. So that's where our problem is. So I think now they have realized, you know what? Previously, they had to given all these foreigners to come here to trade in our country and everything else, because when the ANC was in exile, they helped them and all. That's when they opened the doors. When they opened the doors, they never realized that, you know what? If you open the door, whoever comes in, you must be properly documented. Actually, we're saying you must be documented. We don't have a problem. You want to trade here in the country, you want to stay in this country, but you must be documented, because we have got in CEP thousands of files. We cannot close those files there because we can't find them, because they come here, they do whatever they want, they kill somebody too, bury him too, and then he's gone overseas, he's gone back to his homeland. You can't track him because he came with fraudulent documentation from his country. Whatever he came with his document, that's what Home Affairs put him as when he came and he gave him visa in this country and all. He did his job, whatever he was supposed to do, looted from here, and he's gone back, and that's where the problem. Foreigners are here. Yes, they're good business people. They're good people. Some of them, the Somalis are very, very good business people. They got their own bank in Joburg as well. They make money here. But the problem I have always noticed, Shafat, they come here to make money here, but they don't put any money back into our kitties, which means there's some of them, they don't pay the PAYE, UIF, they're not registered with SARS. They just make money here, and all the money besides buying food, accommodation here, the rest of it is going into their own country. So it's not benefiting the country by say.
We haven't lost you. Ahmad, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, sure.
Okay, I'm looking at a message here, and it's from Yusri Ajam. He's in the Emiratis, and he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Shafat and Ahmad Parak, surround yourselves with people who talk about visions and ideas, not other people, but be a voice, not an echo. I must tell you that you and Ahmad Parak, you all are not an echo, but you all are a voice. Hey, that's a compliment for you, Ahmad.
JazakAllah. You know, alhamdulillah, you know, when you talk the truth, when you say, you know, this show is called Straight Talk. We say, have you. We don't punch, you know. We give information that is authentic. We tell them exactly what it is. And the people must know that, you know what, I'm a counselor. I'm not there in for the money. So but to get after deduction and everything to come to 19 grand, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me. I can make money with other sources, consulting and everything else. You know, Allah blessed me. I would acknowledge I have got over the years. You know, I can make that 20 grand, this thing. But I went into government because I was told, get into government. You have been working for the last 20 years or so outside government. Go in government and make a difference. And alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah and you people surrounding me and the radio station like yourself, you assisted me over the years, that now we are there. We know exactly how the government is operating and we're telling the people exactly what is happening in government.
Oh, brilliant there, Ahmad, and Allah bless you for that. Also, you know, there's a message here that says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Farooq. I'm from Kaohsiung, and I always listen to Straight Talk and never miss it for anything. My cousin there in the Esplanade tells me, don't come to Durban for Sardine Run, because they even are looting trucks and everything. They will take your car away, and they will even hit you. I don't like what he said, but I want to come to Durban so that I can meet you and enjoy the fish. How you respond to that, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, people, you know, when one incident happens, like I'll give you one typical example. One day, a person came after Fajr Namaz to Brook Street Cemetery. Now, you know, you come, if you come alone and you come to Brook Street Cemetery through the back entrance, these guys maybe came from the front entrance. Today they wear kurta. This security in the front thought he's a Muslim. They allowed him. Then he went through the back and they know how it was a Toyota vehicle. They took the Toyota vehicle nicely. And the security on the other side, in Pieter Lane, he must be said, you know, this guy came here, kurta, not realizing this was, they have taken that person's car away. Now, if you go to Brook Street, you know they in Brook Street, you don't go alone. You can must go with the company and it makes it easier. So at least you got support and all that. Although we got security, but you know, sometimes security might be being called out for something else. So maybe went to the toilet or whatever it is and the person came in. Now they went and paint the whole city red and in the community. Don't go to Brook Street Cemetery. Very, very dangerous. So don't go and bury it. You can't do that. So for one incident, they put it out of, from a mole, they made it into a mountain. That's what our people are. Instead of saying, you know what, these things happen. This is reality today in South Africa. You get hijacked, but you need to take precaution. Tie your camel. And if you don't tie your camel, what happens to you? This is what the problem is, Shafat.
Now, that's a good point indeed. And, you know, it's all over the country. Not only Durban has a problem. I mean, you go to any part of the country, you got problems. I mean, look at in Cape Town or the Western Cape, they have more, you know, they say more shebeens and more, you know, alcohol dens than they have police stations, Ahmad.
Correct, 100%. You know, these are things, you know, so people, and people are saying Cape Town is very safe. Cape Town is very safe. But they're only showing you the good part of Cape Town. Tell them to show you the other part of Cape Town. Khayelitsha, all that, Cape Flats and all. Tell them to go and see what is happening there. So you know what? Durban is still, you know what? You get, I'm not saying there is no crime. I'm also saying our police is corrupt. You everywhere there is corruption in the country. We know about it. Things are starting to look better because people are getting convicted and left, right and center. The courts are not, to get this country right, they have got a special mandate from the Justice Department to start prosecuting. So things are coming up in a speed at the moment. You know, Zanella's matter has gone to over 200 witnesses and all that. So the people, the SAP, because they want, end of the day, they know 2024 is around the corner. If they're not going to show some results, things not, and nobody's going to vote. If you take, like what, Dutazela Zuma, the late, I mean, President Zuma's late President Zuma said that, you know, the ex-president Zuma, son said, he made it very, very clear in yesterday's press. He said, this is your last chance for change in this country. Now, what he's saying to us, get the youngsters, get your people sorted out, get them to register, because this is going to be a mother of mothers election that you'll ever see in this country happening, Shafat, is going to sort the boys from the men. And this, whoever did not vote in this 24 election, they will regret it all their life. They say, you know what, we could have made a change if we voted. And if that happens, Shafat, is going to, yes, it will be a coalition government. But the ruling party is not going to get that 50 plus 1. It's not going to happen. And we all know that. And they took a survey last week, Shafat. We were the front runners in that survey. We put all the parties and you know on your WhatsApp to vote. And we were the front runners. Actually, they say was the front runner in that poll. So that alone talks for itself. People want a change. Now, when you want a change, you need to register yourself. Don't say, you know what, this country here, Jane De, don't worry about it. These are all chora mama, chora machane chor. They're not going to do anything for us. What must I vote for? That is a very, very wrong attitude. You need to vote. You want to make a difference. You're the first one to cry. You know, Ahmed Parag, my road, I cannot drive inside. The water is gushing into my driveway. Ahmed Parag, for 72 hours, I don't have electricity. Ahmed Parag, I've got potholes in my road. Do something about it. Ahmed Parag, I got some jondolos are coming around the corner from me. Now, you want all that, but you're phoning me. But the question is, did you vote in the last municipal election? You said, no, bhai, I don't vote because so obscure here inside. Why must I vote? But you're the same man picking up the phone to ask Ahmed Parag to do all that work what you want to do. Now, if that is, you tell me if that is right, Shafat.
I tell you, hit the nail on the head, eh? You hit the nail on the head. I mean, we need everyone to register. I see, you know, every party today, I mean, recently have gone on this big mission of registering voters, Ahmed. And even the EFF and so forth, going all out for registering voters. But in most cases, you know, there is this big hype. Yes, everyone's going to vote. And notice on Voters' Day, maybe half are drunk and not coming to the voting station and so forth. Talk to me about that phenomenon, Ahmed.
Shafat, on that voting day, you see, especially our among our Muslim community, we even made provision that, you know, our females don't want to come because in terms of parda, they cannot wait in the queue. We made provisions. They're not even going to give us one day. They prepare to give us 2 days. And they will come to their house and come and do a special vote, which we call a special vote. What else you want? They're coming to you. And we made it more even simpler for them. We say, you know what? When you go in there, that house got 4 females. We don't want a male to go there. We want a female. They even conceded on that IEC said, fine. We understand your culture. We understand your religion. Fine. They even accepted that. That too, they don't want to come forward. Now, how much more can we do? You know, when I first was getting involved to stand as a to join Action SA, and I went to Mufti Saab, and I told Mufti Saab, I've got an opportunity here. The community wants me. Instead of working from behind the scenes, get into council, and you, Ahmed Parag, we know you will make a difference. So I went and asked him, you know, Mufti Saab, I want your blessing. He said, no, Ahmed, you mustn't go there. You're doing a splendid piece of work from behind the scenes. Why do you have to go there? You'll become like them. So I told Mufti Saab, the issue is, if all of us, what you just told me, if all of us think like how you are thinking, then we won't have no Muslim councillors in the council. We won't have them in the government. And then you and everybody else want us to do something. We won't have a say. If there is major issues that are taking place in government, we won't have a say because we haven't got our own people in council, in government, to make sure that we are protecting our deen, we're protecting our religion. So that's what I told him. So he said, and then you must decide what you want to do. I said, Salaam alaikum, and I walked out from there. I said, you know what? I took other opinions and all. I went to some seniors. They said, you know what? Do me a favor. Get in there. Don't get in tomorrow. Go in there now if you can, because you will make a difference. And go there, and one thing only. First, number one priority, protect our deen. Secondly, talk the truth. Thirdly, make sure whatever is there, we must get for the community, which is community-based thing. We must fight to get it for our community, and that is it, and for the community at large. That's what those three things I was told, and I went into council, and I start doing. I think this, Shafar, alhamdulillah, the November 1st will be my second year. When 21, 22, 23 will be my second year. Just time goes very, very fast. Will be my second year. Alhamdulillah, I'm sure that the people on the ground are happy with me. Whatever I did so far, I have proved, you know, I have proved myself to be a good counselor and do whatever is right for the community, Shabbat.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you made the right decision getting in there. I mean, look at the Jewish lobby in America. You know, AIPAC, the American Israeli Press Affairs Committee. I mean, they make sure they get in there, and they're in numbers, and they decide who the next president of the country will be. I mean, do we have a Muslim lobby in this country, Ahmad?
Shafat, the problem is, number one, we got too many organizations. And each organization, when we telling them, unite, come to one big organization, still run your organization, but make sure we talk from the same line, and let's sort ourselves. Because you know what? There's a lot of duplication in our organization. That's number one. Secondly, if you take what you just spoken about, the Jewish lobby, they are fully fledged, not in the United States. They are in the country. They are controlling the whole economic of the city as well as the country here. So you know what? They know exactly, because they are making sure they're safeguarding their interests. You take the Pick and Pay, the Woolworth, the ShopRite, Checkers, all the stores, the major stores in the big corporates in the country, they're making sure they have already put in place. And when their children are finished matric, they go to a special school, being taught about business and what to do, and they've been taught about politics from day one, immediately when they left school, they go and there's a training school for them in politics, how to work with politics and how to do business in this country. So they got two knowledge, both the knowledges put together, and that's why they make things happen. So we're not doing all that. We're talking, nobody's coming forward, but, you know, taking the bull by his horn and say, you know what, let's put something together, put all our organization. So if I mean start in 1998, Islamic Burial Council, bringing all of burial societies together in one under umbrella body, it should have never happened. We are today successful because we've got all our own cemeteries, we're managing it. If we did not take over the cemetery, we should have just had one or two cemeteries, and we had to go and look for land and get more cemeteries, because the council should have taken it, because more of the non-Muslim are dying by the day than our Muslim. So, and we recycle, they don't recycle. So they should have been out of cemetery site, and they should be attacking our site. And they should, where you got 1,000 graves, they say you only use 200, they should have taken the 800 away. What should have been done then, Shafar?
I give you full marks there. Even I remember your story about the IBC when you wanted to form the IBC. There were these some of the seniors said, "Hey, what are you going to do, Ahmad? You know why, man? Why you must reinvent the wheel?" But you took the plunge, and alhamdulillah, that was a success. And here too, mashallah, you know, you're a man of vision, and perhaps, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding you, and your honesty is the best policy, Ahmad. And you know, perhaps your parting words this morning before I let you go.
Shabbat, inshallah, Thursday should be Bakrid, Eid. Allah make it easy for all our brothers. All those brothers are going to make Qurbani. There's a lot of facilities all over the city, all over. And I plead to our community, don't send our Qurbani away, because you can get Qurbani. I've been told in Malawi you can do it for between 800 and 1,000 rand. So they say, you know what? No. Hey, you know what? Instead of cutting here, I sent my Qurbani. I gave it to so-and-so. He's going to do it in Malawi. Do it in front, in your own yard, if you can. If you don't have a yard, go to the farm. Go and do at least one. Take your family there, your children, your grandchildren, go and show them how Qurbani is done. if this is the case, that, you know, now they've got farms like you know, they today you got burial society, somebody passes away in your house, you pick up the call, they come with the hearse, they take the body away, everything is done. In the old days, we used to do it in our own houses and all that. It's the same thing, we've been outsourced. So you have to go there and show your children that how Kurbani is done. Otherwise, we're going to lose the essence of Kurbani, because they all will say, no, 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 South Africa is too expensive. Give it to Malawi, give it to all the neighboring countries where they're doing it for 800 dinar. Then what's going to be the... So you want to lose that essence of Kurbani in this country as well. So, and fortunately, in this city, we got provision that you can make in your own yard too. You know, in Spingo Beach, we used to do it in our own yard. And in the atmosphere and the barakah you get in that shafat is unbelievable, Shafat.
No, absolutely. You're making brilliant points there indeed, Ahmed. You have a, mashallah, beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.